12:02 on Boston and New England Sports Original WEEI. Let's get some football in. The day after the Celtics have clinched a berth in the NBA Finals. Joining us maybe for a tiny bit of NBA talk and a lot of football talk is our buddy Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, good afternoon.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, is this the just do coming to Jaylen Brown? Just quickly, I know we're going to get to the football, but I know you love your hoop. Jaylen Brown, Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Was this maybe an about time type thing for Jaylen Brown?
No.
Where do you land on this?
Oh, it wasn't an about time in terms of him getting the recognition. He got the due recognition that he absolutely deserves, but he has not been an underrated player in the past. And I wouldn't say he's underrated now. He has played brilliantly all year. He's 25 to 30% better than he was in 2023. And he deserved to be an All-NBA player this year. He didn't really deserve it last year. He got a lot of boost from his early season scoring, and I think the emanating conversation here in New England about is he going to be All-NBA and get the contract, and I think people just kind of rode that wave to him being an All-NBA player. This year, there's no doubt he was an All-NBA player, and he got stiffed. So it's ironic to me the way it slipped a little bit, but he took advantage of Indiana the way I figured he would.
Yeah, and off that, you know, just to keep going on on the basketball tip before we get to the football, because I feel like it's been sleepy over there. How do you think Joe Mazzulla is, or how much credit do you think Joe Mazzulla is going to get when this is all said and done? Any?
Yeah, he should, but I honestly, they have the best roster in basketball, kind of by far. Most of the credit should go to Brad Stevens for saying, all right, you know what? I have a chance to get Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday. I know people around here are irrationally in love with Marcus Smart, but we're about to get a player in Drew Holiday who's a better offensive player, just as good as, or perhaps better defensive player. And we don't have to deal with kind of a leadership logjam. So to me, the credit goes to the roster building in the NBA, always. So I would give more credit to Brad Stevens than Joe Mazzulla, but not that Mazzulla's not been more than fine.
Real quickly, one more, Gresh. If you were to rank the importance of each coach for their sport, manager obviously in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, which sport do you think relies on the coach the most and who the least?
Football by far, basketball also by far. I mean, it's not a coincidence that the greatest coaches in NBA history, your Popovich, your Red Auerbach, your Phil Jackson, happened to have the most dominant players in NBA history. You ever think Phil Jackson was the architect, or was it the fact that he happened to be coaching Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant? You know, Greg Popovich ends up with Tim Duncan. And, you know, certainly that's the style that he put in. You got buy-in from those players like Duncan. And the same thing with, you know, Russell and Cousy and Heinsohn and the people who played for Red Auerbach. And, you know, Casey Jones is mentioned as one of the greatest coaches of all time because he didn't have the same length of time, but some of the greatest teams of all time were the greatest teams of all time because of the players. And I think in the NFL, it's totally flipped. It's, what do you think, Christian? I mean, you probably have an opinion too.
No, I go football first. Absolutely. And then I think really it's a toss up between the other three sports. I might even put hockey a second, all the lines that they're changing, all the different lines and defensive schemes and power plays and special teams. And I'd probably put basketball last.
Yeah,
I put basketball last.
Well, the reason I would move basketball up is because the biggest concentration of babies and petulance is in the NBA, it feels like. And that's got to be, you know, I'm sure somewhere, Tommy, old Dick Pitino is saying, man, if I'd only got Tim Duncan, look what would have turned out for me.
Yeah, I mean, it also underscores, though, that if you're down to managing personalities, that means that you're secondary to the players. And every coach is going to say, oh, I'm secondary to the players. Well, in football, you can get blocked out in position, and you're contingent upon your teammates more than in basketball. And yes, you're contingent upon your teammates and who's in front of you, but there's going to be fewer guys. You don't get buried as often. Kristen, you must have looked at any number of players in the NFL and said, a guy's better than he's getting a shot to be. Or seeing guys get blocked out who could have been really good players just because of their situation.
Yeah, no, that's why a change of address is great sometimes for some of these guys.
Well, it's interesting that we talk change of address, and Tommy, you use the phrase roster building, like for the NBA, because now we're kind of in that sort of area where, okay, not a lot of guys are going to get cut. You're really getting ready for mini camp and then training camp. And I know that Elliot Wolf is going to turn to some of the guys on the roster. And I'm curious to get your gut feel on a couple of people on the roster in terms of moving forward. I threw this to Christian the other day, and I throw it to you, Tommy, in asking about Jacoby Brissett. Do you get the feel that this guy is just here to be the guy to get along for the season and then off into the sweet goodnight you go? Or might there be an opportunity for Elliot Wolf to buy low relative to the backup quarterback market and maybe keep Brissett around for a couple more years?
Yeah, I think that there's certainly, you know, if Drake May develops and by the end of the 24 season, he has gotten on the field and started some games perhaps at the tail end and performed capably, everyone's going to understand the situation, Jacoby Brissett included. It would take a lucrative offer, I would imagine, to then say to Brissett, we want you to stick around and just, you know, be a coat holder to an extent, clipboard holder for Drake May. Does that sound enticing to you? We're going to pay you $8 million again. And he'd probably say, "What? Depending upon how he played. I mean, if he was an utter disaster or he got injured and Drake May came in, maybe he would consider that and figure that he had entered that portion of his career. But I think the Patriots would like to do that. But if I'm Jacoby Brissett, I'm still exploring starter opportunities and the paycheck that comes with it into 2025.
What about Ramondre Stevenson? Last year of his deal, the running back market is very funny. We saw some guys get, you know, on average, what, 8 to 8.5, 9 million, at least in terms of what the paper says on contract, in terms of guys who signed in free agency. How do you see Stevenson sort of fitting and how the organization maybe views this cat?
Cat. Pictured you with a goatee, sunglasses.
He's a beatnik.
French painted beret.
Yeah, this guy's pretty cool, man.
Playing the bongos.
Probably viewed as a guy who was less successful than Ezekiel Elliott in 2023. And he's a better player at this juncture than Ezekiel Elliott. But if you look at the production, Ezekiel Elliott led the team in both receptions and yards from scrimmage, rushing yards. So, you know, Ramondre's good. I figured that he was kind of a top 10 back going into 2022, 2023, those seasons in terms of skill. But it's another person who was held hostage, for lack of a better word, by the dysfunction of the offense, not only in 2022, but also in 2023, because they just had bad players and a rotating door at quarterback. So, who is he? What is he? We don't know. I would be hesitant if I were the Patriots to walk out and say we have to do this with Ramondre Stevenson right now, because, again, that would be buying low and kind of undetermined with Stevenson. And for him, too, I think that he would want to have a better year this year and maximize his opportunities.
I was talking to Tom E. Curran. So, I think I'm going to say this guy's name wrong. I almost posit I'm going to say it wrong. Jaheim Bell. Did I say that right? Tight end out of Florida State?
No, I think you nailed it.
Okay, wow. Look at that. Never really happens.
I think it could be a hot. No, it's Jaheim.
Jaheim. I think it's Jaheim, yeah. Okay, Jaheim works for me.
It's not Jaheim.
No.
Okay, I'm going to call him Jay. I'm going to call him Jay Bell. That's what I do. I don't know your first name. I just read something about him. Somebody compared him to Deebo Samuel, right? Like, so he's not like a true tight end. He's, you know, he's not like an inline guy, yet he's got some, you know, definite skills with the ball. I'm curious what you've seen of him. We're calling it, some people are saying that could be the steal of the draft.
I think that that would be overstating it and slightly hyperbolic, and I'd love to save this take for later if anybody
yeah.
because I just don't, because not for me, but Deebo Samuel runs the ball for close to 1,000 yards. That might be an overstatement, but I mean, didn't he almost have a 1,000-yard season a couple years ago on the ground?
I agree with you. I'm sitting there trying to figure out how it would work.
He's kind of a – I can't even say he's Hernandez. I mean, I don't know if he's that fast and
– shifty.
Explosive and shifty. He made a fantastic catch in the rookie minicamp, an over-the-shoulder catch, you know, one of those Willie Mays just tracked it in. He does have some shimmy. He is good after the catch, but I don't think he's as explosive as fast as Hernandez was. I guess Hernandez, you know, it's tough to make that comparison because of the history of the player and how it panned out. But he is the gold standard for unique and versatility at that position. So. If he can approach that level of skill and versatility, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, I just did a quick look at the stats, like the player bio, and there was some coaching change in South Carolina in 23, but the year before, Bell ended up catching 25 for 231 and 2 scores and ran it 73 times for 261 and 3 touchdowns. So highlighting a little bit of that versatility there. Tommy, Juju Smith-Schuster is still here. Will he be here for the start of the season? Does the money almost dictate you kind of need, even though they have room to get rid of him if they want, does the money play in at all in Juju maybe being here for this season?
Yeah, I think it would. I think the whole package would. I think the leadership would play in. I think his proclamation that he is 100% as opposed to 60% last year. And I also think there has to be a role. Look, Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh and everybody else in personnel have all been able to wash their hands completely of the decisions made in the past 3 years. But somebody in there had to have nodded their head at Juju Smith-Schuster in for Jacoby Myers. Somebody had to nod their head to Cole Strange. Somebody had to nod their head to Pierre Strong or whoever else, Tyquan Thornton. They can't all just say that was Bill. There were bad decisions. That staff was built by Bill, and now I think that they get to say, well, we didn't have anything to do with any of it. So the upshot of all that conversation is, I would not be surprised if somebody in there has a vested interest in seeing Juju Smith-Schuster work out. That can't just be Bill's idea. So, and it was reported, I think, last year that there were analytics that showed that Juju would be a better performer than Jacoby Myers. So, all that said, I think that Juju lands on the Elliott Wolf and Company group as well, and they would want to keep him around as a result to say, look, we like him to begin with. We're not going to take a dead money hit on this guy. Let's see how he works out.
Well, there you go. Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, thank you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Appreciate it.
Have a great week, boys.